You have arrived at your destination.
Hey guys, before we get started, let me tell you about the most innovative approach to new music that exists today. Revival Recordings, an artist-first record label based out of North Carolina, has introduced Revival 52, a commitment to fans to release new music every Friday for all 52 weeks of 2018. From metal to pop punk to indie rock, Revival 52 will bring something new for you to enjoy every Friday. And right now, Revival is giving away a free Amazon Echo to one lucky fan once they hit 1,000 followers on their Revival 52 Spotify playlist. Just go to ffm.to/revival52 and follow the playlist to enter. Enjoy great music from your new favorite record label for free right now. Revival 52 on Spotify. That's right, Wildlings. You have arrived at your destination. It's the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And it's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. And joining me this Tuesday in the Smithsonian, a good friend of mine, singer, songwriter, humanitarian, and about to be Miss Indiana. I'm talking to Meadow Ryan. Yes, it is a great day here at the Smithsonian. Meadow is a ray of sunshine, very positive. She's going to be talking all about, you know, pageant life. She's going to be talking about songwriting, singing, and also she's just going to be very inspirational. She's got a lot of charitable causes and things like that that we're going to be drawing attention to. A lot of great events, charitable events that are coming up this summer. But just talk about a go-getter, a goal setter. You know what I'm saying? And she's doing all this at 18 years old. She's accomplished so much, and she's still got so much life left to live. So fantastic, Meadow. We're all rooting for you. Everybody on the Sean versus Wild podcast wants to see you be Miss Indiana. That's next week, guys. So make sure to support Meadow. But yeah, we had a great conversation here today. I'll tell you what, I feel like $1 million here because last week, I don't know if you heard it on the intro, but man, my voice was very shot. I have some sort of summer cold or something like that. But today, the pipes are in full force. There's honey in your voice tonight, Raul. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another week of the Sean versus Wild podcast. Make sure you check out my awesome sponsors. I'm talking about Audible. Yeah, because you like the Sean versus Wild podcast, you are going to get a free 30-day trial of Audible. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild and sign up. When you sign up, you get to choose over 180,000 audiobooks. Okay. Find the one that you like. Okay. Give it a listen. And guess what? If you don't like it, you can exchange it for another book. And if you decide you don't want to keep Audible, that's fine. You keep the audiobooks forever, man. They're not going to take those away from you. Go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. See what all this fuss is about, dude. I love audiobooks, especially long trips, driving here and there. Gotta have them. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Make it happen. Also, big shout out to the OG sponsor at Audiophile Inc. Shane at Audiophile Inc. has been taking care of all my screen printing needs, all for the podcast, for every band that I've been in, past, present, and future. And he can do the same for you. He's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in. And he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States. All you have to do is go to audiophileinc.com and tell them the Wild Man sent you. Audiophileinc.com, AudioPhileinc.com. Also, big shout out to Joe Brock, my producer, the Dial Booper himself. He's going to be off on vacay this weekend, so he's going to be editing from some sunny locale. Joe, I definitely appreciate you putting off falling asleep in a hammock for a few minutes to edit this podcast. You're my boy. That's why I love you. And guys, I love you. Thank you guys so much for tuning in each and every week. If you haven't already, please like, share, and subscribe. Could definitely use some YouTube subscribers here. Want to beef up that channel. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. Everybody loves Spotify. So check it out if you haven't already. Like, share, and subscribe. Make it happen. Never miss an episode. Never miss an episode of Sean versus Wild. And you know what, guys? I think that's enough for me. Let's get to my conversation with Meadow. Let's get wild. So when I came home today, before we went ahead and started this interview, I went out to the back porch and I noticed that my neighbor's kids were on their roof. They're like 13-8, and I really don't know what to do about it. What would you do? What would Meadow do?
You know, it's always good to have kids on the roof because nothing ever happens. Yeah, that's terrible for that
situation.
I really
can't think of a worst case scenario on this.
No. So my advice would be if they're on the roof in the first place.
Should I call the cops?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'll be that neighbor.
That might be.
Like, you know what? I saw your kids and they're on the dang
roof
again.
They're on the
roof. I'm going to call the police.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the fuzz on this. I do like that you showed up today in full regalia.
Yes. It's always important to present, you know, when you, even if you're not going to be seen by anyone.
Your best possible self.
Right.
I need to get some tips on that because I'm like always in like t-shirts and jeans. But I am wearing my own
Your
podcast
own
t-shirt.
So that's always good.
That's always,
it's always self-promotion. It's always the best.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Man. Look at that guy. He's wearing his own t-shirt.
But for people that don't know, you don't know that.
That's true.
So they don't know.
They're like, what is that awesome shirt you're wearing? What a great brand.
Right.
But yeah, you came full regalia. Listeners out there, I know podcasting is very audio and not visual, but she's wearing the sash. She's got the dress. And coming in full force, Miss
right.
Three Rivers.
Yes.
I like your dress. It reminds me
It
kind of reminds me of Little Debbie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see that. I actually just got this today at Mariposa's. It's a consignment store. So shout out to them.
Right.
So, right.
But who doesn't love Little Debbies?
That's true. Probably your neighbors. Because they let their kids on the roof and...
Maybe the kids are hopped up
on
Debbies.
The Little Debbies. Right.
They're too hopped up on the Debbies. You know what I'm saying? They're on the roof. They're literally... going off the roof here, guys. What's your favorite Little Debbie? I'm gonna put you in a tough spot.
Oh my goodness.
I like to know what people's faves or at least like their top three
right.
things are.
Are the Swiss cake rolls Little Debbie's?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
They're definitely my favorite then.
Yeah.
I would say
my favorite Little Debbie. I don't know. Oh, I'll tell you. The fall party cake.
Oh yeah.
Like the zebra cake.
The zebra cakes are good.
Guys, but this one's chocolate and it's got yellow cake on the inside.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Only get them on the fall. I'm sure they're probably available all year round and they're just like churching it up. They're like, "Oh, it's not a fall party cake. It's a it's a football cake or it's some other related cake." So that way you can have it all year round.
That's true.
I saw a picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is not... Okay, this podcast, guys, if you're listening, it's not all about Little Debbies, but I am going to go off here. This is where the show is going to take a hard left, right here in the first few minutes. I saw a picture the other day, and maybe this is like some of the Mandela effect or something.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw a picture of, you know, someone had taken it in a grocery store, and they had a box of Nutty Bars. Like the Little Debbie Nutty Bars.
Right.
And they're called Nutty Buddies.
Really?
And I was like, when did this happen? And they're like, yeah, it's always been Nutty Buddies. And I'm like, no, it has not. This is Little Debbie brand? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Debbie's in the corner. It says Nutty Buddies. This must be Photoshop.
That has to be.
Yeah. Well, guys, sweet tooths out there. This isn't just the Little Debbie podcast. This is also the Sean versus Wild podcast. Ooh. I'm your host. You guys know me. The man, the myth. The Sean Thriller Smith, and I am joined in studio today by my good friend, Meadow Ryan. Meadow, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for asking.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. Do you think this is cooler than, say, Jimmy Fallon or Live with Regis and
Absolutely.
Kathy Lee?
100%.
Right.
100% cooler.
Yeah. Especially since Regis and Kathy Lee, neither one of them are on the show anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like...
So it's not even existent, really.
It's Kelly and somebody
Someone
else.
Someone else. I don't even know.
I don't either.
Michael, maybe?
Oh, yeah. No, but I think Michael left, too.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll be darned.
This is news to me.
Guys, where are we? First, there's Nutty Buddies, Kathy Lee and Kelly. But yeah, so you are in the studio here. And I'm glad because I wanted to talk to you just because I think you're a real go-getter.
Thank you.
Does anybody ever tell you that?
All the time.
Yeah.
Usually overachiever is kind of the word. And some say it positively and others not so much.
Right.
So, right.
Let me ask you a question. As someone, because how old are you?
I'm 18.
Okay, so you're 18 years old. You've already graduated high school. You've already gone through and graduated. Give me a rundown of your college because you've already got your associates.
Yeah, absolutely. So I graduated high school early as a junior when I was 16 years old. And at that time, or sorry, I graduated when I was 17, but at 16, I started going to Ivy Tech Community College here in Southern Indiana. And so I just graduated with my associate's degree at 18. And then I'll be going on in the fall to Southern Illinois University to get my bachelor's.
What are you majoring in?
So I'm majoring in counseling psychology, and I'm double minoring in communication studies and economics.
I love the way your cadence. I'm like, I can tell this, it's a pageant queen right here. But yeah. And so, between your music, because you're a musician,
right?
You write your own songs,
right?
You got all that going for you. And you have since you were a kid. You're putting on your own shows. You know, you juggled school with that, and then you do your pageants, and you're right. Getting pretty serious on that.
And I'm a cheerleader. I'm a collegiate cheerleader. So
there you go.
Yeah, got it all in one. So
well, let's start
okay. From
the very beginning.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, this is probably a good place to start, at the beginning. When did you first get into, because this is mostly a music podcast, but we'll talk about the music first,
yeah.
I guess. When did you first start getting into writing and doing your own music?
Yeah, so I went to a summer camp when I think I was 9 or 10 years old, and I had never played music before, never written music before, but I went to this music camp. I was just interested and wanted to see what it was about, and so they taught us how to play a few chords on the guitar. We sang, and then at the end of the camp, we had to write and record a song, and I think there were about 13 of us in this camp, all between the ages of 10 and, you know, probably 16 or so. And I was the youngest one. But when we listened to the original songs, everyone just said there was something different about mine, that it was just more advanced. It was more just, it was like a song, like a real song you would hear on the radio. So from then on, I just kept writing and I started performing out. I learned more on the guitar and found that that was really what I was into, really what I loved to do. So yeah.
Yeah. What kind of music are you into, or what would you have been into in that time that would have drawn you to play guitar?
Taylor Swift was a huge influence, and at the time she was a country artist,
right.
And I was really into her, and she was a huge inspiration for me, still is, but, you know, I've broadened my horizons quite a bit,
right.
But yeah, she definitely, I think, introduced me into writing and playing.
Did you always grow up liking country music?
I liked a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess when I was younger, I did like country music a lot more. Now I'm into other things, but yeah.
When I grew up, believe it or not, listeners, I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, in a country household.
Wow.
So I grew up, my first maybe 10 years or so, I was all country, and, I still love my 80s and 90s country guys.
Yeah.
So after, you know, a long night, sometimes I'll put on, you know, some Tracy Lawrence and just unwind, you know, my classic country stuff, or some Garth.
Oh,
can't
yeah.
Go wrong with Garth.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then around 11 or so, like I found Queen, and then I was like,
yes.
And then I found Kiss, and then I found like Black Sabbath, and
oh,
I was like,
gosh.
I'm a rocker.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And then when I was in high school, I got angsty and I became a punk rocker.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you seem pretty straight-laced. Do you ever get those punk rocker, do you feel the need to rebel sometimes?
When it comes to music?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely went through my angsty stage in life and was really into, you know, some heavier music,
yeah.
Or just post, like, I guess it was post-hardcore.
Post-hardcore, yes.
Yeah. So when I was like 12 and 13, definitely liked all that. And I still enjoy it quite a bit. My brother, my stepbrother, actually, he's in a metal band. And I just went up and saw him in Indianapolis. He opened for Memphis Mayfire.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so I still really enjoy it when I'm around that. But yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the first time I met you, because you and your mom would always come into the music store that I worked at.
Yes.
We get your guitar set up and get everything taken care of. But I remember your guitar case just had a bunch of like metal,
yes,
stickers on it,
yes,
like from Warped Tour. And
Bring
I was like,
the Horizon, right, yes.
And Let Live and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, you like these bands? And you're like, oh, yeah. And, you know, we had played Warped Tour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when we first became buds.
Yeah.
So
it is. It's so funny.
Because you're so into metal.
Right? I know, right?
Listeners out there, you know, Men O'Ryan, there's a hidden side to her that just loves metal.
This is true.
Don't let this exterior fool you, okay? Don't let future Miss Indiana fool you. She likes metal.
It's true.
So, yeah. So you go to this camp and you write a song on a whim.
Right.
And turns out cool.
Yeah.
And your mom, very supportive. Big
very
shout
supportive.
Out to mom.
Yes.
She's very supportive of you
so
and your
supportive.
Career.
She is.
She just buy you, did you guys go and pick up a guitar and you decide to...
Well, pretty much, the music store that you worked at.
Right. It's called the music store.
It's called
store, guys.
The music store. The reason we are still very loyal to the music store is my old neighbor owned it, co-owned it with his family. And so he had this guitar. It was a Baby Taylor and it was signed and autographed by Sugar Ray, the band Sugar Ray. And the music store had gotten it, from a radio station. The radio station was supposed to give it away during a call, contest, a radio call-in contest or whatever. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. So they got it, and he immediately came to me and my mom and said this would be a perfect beginner guitar. So that's kind of how I got started.
How do you still have the Sugar Ray signatures on there?
I do, yes. I still have the guitar. It still has the signatures.
Nice.
Yes.
It's just one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, this would be a great guitar for you. Some band autographed
it,
but
right.
The guitar itself would be pretty all right. So.
Yeah, and I was so young. I think I was 10, like I said, and I thought it was just the coolest thing that Sugar Ray autographed this guitar, and then I grew up and realized Sugar Ray, really no one knows who they
are. Mark McGrath. Hey, Mark McGrath, I think, is on Entertainment Tonight as a host.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There we go.
The guitar is worth about $8
yeah,
more.
I was gonna say.
About $8 more than what it normally would
be.
So that's awesome. And then when did you start recording? Because, I mean, heck, I probably met you back in 2013 or 2014, and you already had recorded material then.
Yeah. So I started recording, I can't be quite sure of the time frame, but I want to say it was probably a year, probably 2 years after I started playing. You know, I really started writing a lot and started getting into recording.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
So, what inspires your writing? Maybe at the time, but how about what inspired your writing back when you were 12 years old?
Okay.
And what inspires your writing now?
Yeah. Okay. So this is really interesting, and the answer is probably not what you expect it to be. Of course, at 12, like I did write about typical things, you know, like little crushes and whatnot. But I was growing up, while I was growing up through those years, my mom was still married to my biological father. And so we went through a lot with that. He was an alcoholic and was pretty abusive at times. So I actually used a lot of that as inspiration. And I think I used music as an outlet to express what I was feeling, because I was really shut off and I was really quiet about it. And not a lot of people knew what I was going through. So I really used music to express what was happening. And then now, I really write a lot just about life and just about my friends and what I live. So
yeah. Well, so when did you decide to become a go-getter? Have you always been motivated to just do whatever you wanted to do, or what?
I think I always have been. There isn't a point where I can pinpoint and say this is when I decided to, just go after what I wanted. I remember my mom, telling me stories that even when I was a baby, like I was just so much more advanced than others around. And, that I always was in the spotlight. I always somehow found a way, to just shine. And so I think really, I've just always been this way. And that's really funny. I don't really like try to go out of my way to do all of these things. It just seems to happen. So
do you get a lot of satisfaction from a job well done? Cause I feel like personally I'm a hard worker, and like, I feel like maybe that's like my self-worth. Maybe that's where my self-worth comes from.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm going to have all these projects, and I'm going to juggle everything, and I'm going to be, I'm going to get it all done, and I'm going to make this stuff happen. And then at the end of the day, I'm like super tired, and I'm like, all right, cool. We'll do it again tomorrow. Well, do you feel like that at all? Or are you just more like, well, we're just rolling with it. It comes easy. Natural.
I do feel like it comes pretty natural. But I definitely do, when things are done and they're done, well, like, I definitely do have that satisfaction of, you know, I did this and I accomplished this. And
I nailed it. Just knocked it right out of the park. NBD. No big deal.
Yeah, right.
NBD. So, yeah. And then, so you're playing, you've got some albums and stuff like that. They're out. When do you start playing out in shows and playing out in front of people as well?
When did I start
When did you start?
Yeah, so I started...
We're going down memory lane.
Yeah,
hard
no, it's,
here, bro.
It's awesome. So I went to the music camp, and not too long after that, I went to a karaoke night in Jeffersonville here, and there was someone at that karaoke that heard me sing and said, "Oh, I have this talent competition. You should come do it. It's tomorrow." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what the heck?" And you know, I was like 10 or 11 and thought it was the coolest thing. And so I went, and you know, that night we went out and bought like karaoke tracks, because I couldn't really play guitar that well yet. And so we bought some karaoke tracks, and I think I sang a Taylor Swift song or like a Miley Cyrus song or something. And you know, I didn't win, but they were like, "You should come back, you're really good." And from there, that talent competition was actually at Kingfish down by the river,
right?
And from there, the sound guy said, "Hey, we need like an opener for this band next week. Would you want to do it?" So we literally went out and bought all these karaoke tracks on CD, and I learned all of them that I could. And so I started opening for people at Kingfish, just singing like 2 hours of karaoke. And then we were like, okay, if we want to get more serious, I have to learn to play guitar.
Right.
So I started playing guitar. I started learning. And then, you know, it switched from, "Hey, will you be the opener?" to, "Hey, will you like play this show? Will you be kind of like the headlining person?
Will you
person?
Be the star attraction?"
Yeah. And it was, you know, looking back, very small things, but it all led to, you know, growing and learning and stuff. So
you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we started in the garage. I played a county fair once whenever I was 16. And then we played a lot of our friends' basements.
Yeah.
And that's how you get it done.
And that's the way you do it. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's cool. And so let me ask you this. Yeah. What is your karaoke jam? What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, definitely Dream On by Aerosmith.
Really?
Yes.
I was just watching a little YouTube video. All those list videos, I fell down a rabbit hole. And they were talking about top 10 most difficult songs to sing, and Dream On is on there.
Yeah, I love Aerosmith. My mom loves Aerosmith and Prince, and so consequently, I love Aerosmith and Prince. I'm not even mad about it. And so one day, my mom was like, "You should try Dream On by Aerosmith." And I was like, "Okay, like, who can sing that?" And then turns out that I could sing it really well. So
turns out I'm a natural. Nailed it. No big deal. That's awesome. Yeah, Aerosmith is maybe the greatest, I would say, in history, if we're looking at just American bands, maybe the greatest American band.
Yeah, I would
agree. As far as their longevity of their career.
Yes.
I mean, hits in 4 decades.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they're still going strong.
Yeah.
Even though Steven Tyler looks like he could be my grandmother.
Right. But he's still trucking. He's still making it.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm sure women still find him like just as desirable as did. Even though he looks like somebody's grandma.
My mom does. It's fine.
Mom, shout out.
Throwing you under the bus, Mom. No, it's okay.
Well, found out a lot about your mom today. She loves Steven Tyler.
She does. She does.
Dude looks like a lady. But yeah, so, and then let me ask you too, the pageants, okay?
Because
you do a lot of pageant work, you do a lot of these contests and stuff like that. Did you do pageants before you were into music, or what's the timeline on that?
No, I did not. So this is, again, another kind of funny story how this all came about. So I was doing music, and I was 14, so I'd been doing music for, you know, a good 4 years at that point, and or 3 or 4 years about. And I had set up a charity concert for a young girl in my community who had Dravet syndrome, which is a really severe form of epilepsy. And so I set up this concert for her, and I was on Great Day Live with Terry Miners promoting this event, you know, telling people about it. And then I played a song live on the air. And that day, later on, I got a message from a pageant director who said, you would be perfect for this. You know, you already have a talent. You have a platform. You should really consider competing. You're the perfect candidate. And so I begged my mom to do it because I just thought it would be the coolest thing ever. And my mom said, no way, don't have enough time. You're way too busy and you're not a pageant girl. And then not too long after that, we got a phone call from the same lady who had sent me the email. And she said, we'll help you through the whole thing. You should really consider doing it. You know, there's a talent portion. You would be perfect for that. We saw you on Great Day Live. You already have a platform, a charity platform. You should really consider competing. And again, my mom said no. And about a week or two later, the lady called back again and said, you know, the pageant's in 2 weeks. We would really love to see Meadow compete. She would be a perfect candidate. And my mom, for the final time, said, absolutely not. We don't have enough time. She's not a pageant girl. The paperwork is too much. And she said, we'll help you with all the paperwork. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Her name's on the list. And she hung up. And so at that point, I said, well, Mom, she said my name's on the list, so I have to do it.
Yeah. Can't back down now,
right.
Mom.
And so my mom made a promise that if I could find all of my wardrobe for free in the next, 3 days, I could compete. And in, 2 days, I had everything.
Yeah.
So
just... I was head to toe styling.
I was ready, you know.
I was ready to go. I was born for this.
I borrowed dresses and yeah, so made
Fantastic.
It happen.
Well, yeah, see, I was curious if you maybe guitar was like a talent that you took up because of your pageant. You know what I'm saying? So, but these people start so young with the pageant
stuff.
You've seen toddlers and tiaras.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
What's the backstage life for the pageant? Are parents going crazy back there?
Okay, so there are so many common misconceptions about pageantry. So I compete in the Miss America organization, which is the number one scholarship provider for young women in the world. So there is no other organization in the whole world that provides as much opportunity and as much scholarships as the Miss America organization. So that's the other reason that I got involved, was because I needed money to go to college eventually. Our pageant is not a beauty pageant. It is a scholarship pageant. Most women who are involved are very independent, and we're very driven, and we're very goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And so parents, especially in my division, I'm a Miss now. There's a teen and a Miss division. Parents are very, you know, hands off. There's not a lot that they get involved in. Of course, they come and support. And, you know, I'm 18. I'm one of the youngest in the competition. And my mom, of course, helps me when I ask her for help. And she's, of course, always there for me. But, you know, parents aren't backstage. Parents don't get involved. There's very, very little drama between girls. There's very little drama between parents. It's completely unlike what you would see on Toddlers and Tiaras. And so a lot of people don't realize that until they come see it. My stepbrother and, you know, my boyfriend, they have come and watched pageants. And before the pageant, you know, they have one thought in their head of what it's about. And then after the pageant, they've both come to me and said, oh, this is completely different than what we thought it was, you know.
Right.
The women that compete were very intelligent. We're very talented. We're, you know, we're very goal-oriented, like I said. So.
Right, exactly. It's not like they're, for lack of a better term, they're not like overly sexualizing anybody or
not
anything
at all.
Like that.
Right.
I feel like, Miss America is a classy contest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that's cool too. Like all the, I didn't know that they did so much for the scholarship. I know that they did scholarship stuff, but I didn't know they were number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's fantastic.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Ladies, get in the pageant, go to college.
Thank you.
You know what I'm
saying? No, exactly. It is. It's so important. And yeah, like you said, it's a very, in my opinion, it is the classiest pageant that you can be involved in. Of course, everyone has their own opinion, but being
right.
a competitor, that's definitely what I believe in. It's a great organization. You know, I've met literally my best friends in the organization. I met my best friend, her name's Sam. I met her almost 5 years ago when I first competed in my very first pageant, and we have been inseparable ever since. So
big shout out to Sam.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Way to hold it down.
Yeah,
way to
she's
be that
awesome.
Support system.
Yeah.
See, this is the answer that I was hoping you would say when I'm like, is it crazy backstage? I wanted you to be like, oh yeah, a lot of Southern women yelling at each other, at their kids, a lot of, you know, hair and makeup and clothes thrown around and just a bunch of people in an uproar.
You know, it might be more interesting if it were that way. And right. That is typically the answer that people want, is right. That it is drama filled, but
just a bunch of Southern women.
Unfortunately, we are very standard
Southern mamas.
No, and it's really funny. As a Miss contestant, you are actually very much on your own. We stay with roommates during the week. My roommate is another contestant. We're all paired up with another contestant who we stay with. And we typically have our phones taken away. We don't really have our phones very much during the week. And we only get to see each other, or we only get to see our parents and our family members during free time for about 30 minutes at the end of each night.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they did. Well, I guess for the phone thing, that's a good idea. You know, isn't it kind of refreshing to not be around your phone for like a little bit?
Right. And, you know, most of the time during the week, we're either at rehearsals or we are at a public appearance. And so in doing that, they're not being mean. They're not saying, like, they're not punishing us. It's simply to remove distraction.
Right.
Because if you're in rehearsals, you need to focus. Or exactly. If you're at a public appearance, you need to focus on those around you. So
you need to keep your eye on the prize.
Right. So
I feel that. People out there, let that be a lesson to you. You know what? Just a couple times a week, just take your phone away from yourself.
Yeah.
Get focused, get motivated, work hard, accomplish your goals.
Yes.
See, I'm getting fired up here, man, with everything you're saying. Pumping me up here.
Yes.
So, but you know what? I think it's time. I know we've talked about your music quite a bit.
Yeah.
You have prepared a piece.
Yes.
As I like to say, you have emailed me over a track and I've listened to it several times today. I think we should let everybody hear what it's all about.
Yeah.
So you have prepared the song Back in 68.
Yes.
Give the listeners a little nugget of behind the scenes info about Back in 68. When did you write it? What's it about?
Okay. So I wrote the song a few years back and it is one of my favorites that I've ever written. It's just a super fun song about summertime and kind of finding someone you feel like you want to spend your life with. And, so I actually wrote the song. My very first car was a 68 Volkswagen Beetle. So I wrote the song. The inspiration is kind of my car mm-hmm. behind it. So that's why the song's called Back in 68. So it's just kind of about, you know, like the summer romance that we see in old-timey movies and kind of wanting to live that.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's check it out. This is Matt O'Ryan with Back in 68.
It all started back in 68. You were looking so good and I couldn't wait to find reputation. You couldn't wait to break me down and take me for a ride. Every night we were staying out late and I didn't know what to think, but Daddy didn't like you much. But you said we could run. Big love for the both of us. I wanna go.
All right, everybody. Met Orion taking you to Toontown, taking you all the way back to 68. You know what I'm saying?
It's a long time ago.
It's so long ago. You were like, what? Negative?
Yeah.
I was negative 30.
Yes. Whenever I used to play that song out a lot, especially at open mics, and there would always, it would never fail, be someone say, oh, were you born in 68? And I would just...
You say yes.
Yeah, I was like, I don't...
I am the most sprightfully youthful 50-year-old
yeah,
you've ever met.
I just didn't even know how to respond to that, how anyone could, in their right mind, think that. But that's okay.
It's like your Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
Right.
You know, Bryan Adams was probably, I don't know, five in 1969. But
yeah,
he wrote a song about, you know, being a young rebel. So,
yeah,
whatever.
You know,
if Bryan Adams can do it, man,
you
can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Canadian songbird, but Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Are you a Ryan Adams fan? Are you familiar with his work?
Ryan Adams?
Ryan Adams, as opposed to Bryan Adams. So many people like Ryan Adams because he's like, you know, this like singer-songwriter-y kind of guy. But I don't like him because his name is too close to Bryan Adams. And Bryan Adams is what we used to listen to, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we cleaned the house, whenever I was a kid.
Very nice.
Bryan Adams' greatest hits. So far, so good. Summer of 69, track number one.
Yes.
So, yeah. There you go. This isn't the Bryan Adams podcast, guys, but it could be.
It could be.
We could easily turn it into that. But, yes, taking you to Toontown, met Orion back in 68. Yeah, the most sprightfully youthful 50-year-old.
Yes.
That'll be your new...
slogan.
Yeah, slogan. Exactly. That'll be your new Instagram description.
Bio. Yeah.
Bio, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I was born in 1968. and I'm going to be Miss Indiana this year.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so Miss Indiana, I mentioned it, but we got to talk about this because this is a big deal here. You're competing for Miss Indiana.
Yes.
And it's in like a week.
Yes, it's in a week.
It's coming up right now.
Real fast. Yes.
So what can you imagine when you're going to be Miss Indiana? You're going to be. I'm throwing it out there.
I sure hope so. Put it into the world, right?
Exactly. If, guys, we can't vote, but we can root.
Yes.
So let's root.
Yes.
For you. How did you? So what do you have to do to kind of be in the running for Miss Indiana?
Right.
Do you have to win so much, or
yes? So you do have to win a local pageant. So the Miss America organization, the kind of layers go local, state, and then the national pageant. So in Indiana, there are 36 local pageants to compete for Miss Indiana. So you have to win one of those 36 pageants. I'm Miss Three Rivers Festival, and that was actually the first pageant that I competed in as a Miss. I competed in the teen division for 4 years straight, and I made it to Miss Indiana as Outstanding Teen every year. I was even third runner-up at state, and so I aged out, you know, because once you get so old, you're an adult.
Oh, yeah. Once you get so old.
So old.
Once you hit 50. Yeah.
So
they just put you out to pasture,
right,
like an old racehorse.
You then have to compete in the Miss organization or the Miss system, the Miss division. And so Miss Three Rivers Festival was the very first pageant as a Miss that I competed in. And I felt very unprepared. And I remember so many times throughout the day of competing saying, you know, I'm just here because I really wanted to gain experience. I wanted to see what the Miss division was like, because it is a lot different than the teen division. And so I remember, like I said, just saying, oh, I'm just here just to see what happens. I'm not here to win, you know, and that truly was my mindset. And of course, you know, I did my absolute best in every area of competition. And it just so happened that, you know, the judges really enjoyed me. So that was great. And it was a huge blessing, and it still is. I'm still, you know, just as excited as I was when I won. But yeah, so it came as a huge shock. So I won my local pageant, and then, from there on, I've just been preparing for Miss Indiana. Like I mentioned, there's different stages of competition. You have interview, talent, on-stage question, evening gown, and lifestyle and fitness. And talent and interview are the two highest portions. That's really fun for me because I love talent and I like talking to people. So, yeah.
Yeah. You're just knocking it out of the park. So is your talent going to be singing, songwriting, guitar and singing?
Yes, I play guitar and I sing for my talent. Yes, I do. So
what? I don't want to spoil it. I don't want any spoilers because it's right. coming up. But what
exactly?
Can you tell me anything about?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about my talent. You know, a lot of people keep it a huge secret, and I'm not so much to do that. I like, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal to keep things a secret. But I am singing a very old song. It's in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, if that mm-hmm. narrows anything down at all. And I'm very excited. I've kind of remade this song that I'm singing into my own version completely. So I'm really excited about it.
That's
awesome. My first time singing the song at State, so.
Well, that'll be definitely very exciting.
Yes.
Knocking it out of the park with your talent. How do you prep? What's prep like? I know you said you've been practicing and preparing for this. Is it just like psyching yourself up in the mirror, or is it, are you memorizing answers to questions?
No. So it's kind of neither of those things. Preparation is, it varies for everyone. For me, it's really just practicing my talent as much as possible. You know, working out is a big part of the competition because you do have the lifestyle and fitness portion. And for me, that's, you know, cheerleading because I'm a cheerleader. So that's kind of how I stay in shape and everything. And then as far as interview goes, it's not about memorizing what you're going to say because you absolutely never know what you're going to be asked in an interview ever. It varies so completely every time you walk into an interview room. But it's really just about being confident in yourself and in your beliefs. That's a huge part of it, is really knowing what's going on in the world and kind of just having a stance and being respectful in what you believe. So,
yeah, I have some sample questions right here.
Oh, goodness. Well, okay.
We're going to rapid fire them off. They might not be so deep.
Okay.
Okay. But,
this is great. Yeah. I love it. It's perfect preparation.
Yeah, exactly. What world leaders would you want to meet and why?
Wow, that's a really great question. I would love to meet Jackie Kennedy, Jackie Onassis. I think she was a really great first lady, and I think she was really faithful. And she just, you know, led as the first lady so gracefully. So
yeah,
love to meet Jackie O.
What are your thoughts on the legalization of marijuana?
So I do not promote or practice, of course, the use of recreational marijuana. However, I do support the legalization of medical marijuana because I have seen what it can do for cancer patients, especially in my family. I've seen the difference that it can make in different disorders and medical disorders. And as a psychology student, I know the effects that medical marijuana can have. And really, in my opinion, there aren't very many negatives, if any at all. So I do support medical marijuana.
Do beauty pageants help or hurt how society views women?
You know, this is a very tricky question, especially in my position, because beauty pageants are a very different thing from Miss USA or Miss America pageants. I think Miss America and Miss USA, you have to have the right outlook. And if you're looking for something negative in them, you will find it. But if you're looking for the pageants to empower young women, it definitely does that. And in my opinion, it has done that for myself. It's done that for the women around me. If you're willingly putting yourself on stage and you're wanting to share yourself in that light, then it's a positive thing for sure.
Man, I'm knocking it out of the park. I found a website with a bunch of sample questions. This is what prep is, guys. If you want to know what it is, you got to go on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. You got to let him grill you with these questions for an hour.
Absolutely.
And then you got to decide whether or not you want to be in this pageant or not. Like, good Lord. That guy really just took me down a peg.
It's a great.
Here's the best question. Which candy bar is best?
Oh, wow.
And well, why?
I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yes, that is the correct answer. I should have literally said, why is Reese's the best candy? And why do you agree with me? It is. It's number one.
It is.
In my heart. And if anybody else thinks otherwise, you know what? Get your own show.
Yeah.
Get your own podcast.
I agree.
Talk about your nutrageous or your 100 grand.
Oh, no.
I will say 100 grand is kind of, I think 100 grand. It's kind of the jam. It's kind of like a Star Crunch. Going back to the Debbie's. Man, I'm just so hungry,
I've
I guess.
I've never even had one, I don't think.
Well, I don't know if you can fit it into your fitness portion of your of the contest, but I would highly recommend you check one out.
Oh, trust me. I love McDonald's cheeseburgers. Yeah. So that.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Do you get the double or the single?
I get the triple.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's
if we're being honest here.
You know, I think that their single burgers taste better than their doubles for
really?
Some reason. Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes I eat those doubles and I'm just like, this is like a grease pit. And the singles just seem fresh to
I
me.
Always, yeah, see, that's why I get the triple, because not very many people order them. So they're always made very fresh.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What it's a life pro hack. Tip. Yeah, that life is a life hack. I saw the other day somebody made a double, like a Big Mac, but with double chicken patties, like the McChicken patties. It's all done up like a Big Mac. I thought it looked pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can imagine myself eating that or not.
The best burger at McDonald's is the Daily Double, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's got to get that tomato in it. Got to get those onions in there. Like, I want my breath to be really offensive.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter where I go.
Exactly.
Guys. But yeah, so you got Miss Indiana, and it is coming up. It is upon us.
It is.
What are the details on Miss Indiana? When is it? Where
is
it?
Yeah, okay. So Miss Indiana kicks off on Sunday. Sunday the 10th in Zionsville, Indiana. That is when all the contestants will head to Zionsville. We'll have an opening reception. We'll give away some scholarships. And then from there on, Monday through I guess about Wednesday, there we make appearances and we go to rehearsals. And then on Wednesday through Saturday, we have our competition. So preliminary nights are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then our final night is, what did I just say? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then our final night is Saturday. Lost my train of thought. Yes. And so finals night is when the top 10 is announced. And then they kind of repeat everything. And then the winner is crowned. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Are you excited to get crowned? We're throwing it out in the universe. We're you know, going to manifest this. It's going to happen.
I really hope. I hope that that comes my way. But I'm really just looking forward to the week and getting to experience it for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to meet like so many cool people.
Yeah.
Like-minded individuals.
Absolutely.
That are goal-oriented.
Yes.
Want to get out there, make moves in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
If you weren't a musician, what would you want to do with your life? If you weren't Miss Indiana and musician, what would you want to do with your life?
Career-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I want to...
Sure. Career-wise or just fun-wise?
Or just fun-wise?
What would your hobbies be if they weren't those?
Well, I love to paint, so I would probably do something on that route. And then career-wise, I want to be a psychologist. I want to actually be a family psychologist and work in a children's hospital. And then I would also like to be a professor.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What draws you to, helping children in that field?
So two different things, actually. Being in the Miss America organization, every year at Miss Indiana, we visit Riley's Children's Hospital. And so seeing Riley's and what the Children's Miracle Network does for families, they get to go and get treatment free of charge. That showed me that I have a capability of helping people. And that's really what I've always wanted to do with my life. It just help people the best way that I knew how. And so when I started taking classes at Ivy Tech, I took my intro to psychology course just to mark it off my prereq checklist. And I was really inspired by my professor. And she really opened the door into psychology, and I found out that I just loved it, and I loved everything it was about. So I wanted to be a professor to do that for other students. And then, like I said, when I visited Riley's last year, after I had decided that I wanted to study psychology, I knew that my reach could go a lot further than just teaching, just being a professor, that I could actually help people on a really real level, you know, being a family psychologist. So
that's awesome.
Thanks.
You know, that's really, noble. And I like that too. I like that feeling of, you know what, I can help somebody get somewhere, do something that they're not able to help themselves with, you know?
Yes.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Look at me getting all about my feelings today. Like, oh, I like to work hard. I like to help people. No, I don't. I'm a really cool podcaster, and all I do is party. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, guys. You're seeing a different side of Sean. today.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's all coming down the pipeline here it next is. Week. Miss yes. Indiana.
Yes.
And very it's in excited. Zionsville.
It is.
Where is Zionsville?
So the best way to describe it is it's a little bit north of Indy. It's like the Indy, Zionsville, Carmel area. Ah, just lump it all together.
Carmel.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. My uncle lives in Indy. I told you I went to the Indianapolis 500.
Yes.
Like, listeners, if you want to know what it's like to go to the Indianapolis 500 this year, I don't know. Just imagine being in hell. That's about as hot as it was. It was okay, guys. I got to tell you a funny story. So I've been battling a little bit of a summer cold. You might have heard it on last week's intro. I sounded like a pile of garbage. Check it out. So today I sound great. I gotta pat myself on the back for that. But so I decide. I'm like, I gotta take a Sudafed or something. And before I go to this race, so that way I'm not feeling bad. And I took the Sudafed, and I started getting all jittery, and it was like 90-something degrees, and I'm walking like 2 miles into the track, and I'm like the sweatiest person. There's 500,000 people there. I'm the sweatiest one, easily. I like literally at one point, I was like, I got to buy a hat, and because I just had sweat just beating up on my forehead like a weirdo. So I was like, I got to buy this hat so that way nobody can see it. And immediately, it went from light gray to black because of the perspiration. So, yeah, guys, this took a weird turn, the Indy 500. But, yeah, so Zionsville, yes. Guys, if you're in the area, if you're in the Indianapolis area, you got to check it out.
Yeah, and there will be a parade on Saturday, so you can come check that out. It's completely free. So
party on.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yes.
What are some of your heroes? Let me ask you that question. Even though I've already put the phone away and I'm not grilling you with the question, but I'm just curious, like, who do you look up to?
Well, I really look up to my mom, and that sounds really, really cliche.
Yeah, but she's cool.
Yeah, she is cool. And she really, like I mentioned earlier, we went through some really tough times, and if it weren't for her, I mean, I literally wouldn't have made it through that. And she really held her and I together and got us through those really difficult times. I feel like anyone would say their mom is their hero, but truly she is mine. But stepping away from that, there is a particular Miss Indiana that I've always looked up to. Her name is Nicole Plowman. She is married now, and her husband actually raced in the Indy 500. I don't know how many years ago, but they moved to England, and so he no longer races in the
Indy 500. She actually was at the Indy 500 this year.
Nicole Pollard was?
Yes, she was.
She was. Nicole Plowman, excuse me. So that's Miss
Nicole
Indiana.
Nicole Pollard Plowman.
Plowman, there you go. Yeah. So that's so cool that you, that's awesome.
I got
that's,
to see her. I got
awesome.
To wave at her.
She's
as she
awesome,
waved
right?
From a car. She went around the, did a few laps.
Yeah. So she was my interview coach whenever I first started competing, and she is the person who helped me grow as a person and as a title holder. And she really opened my mind to like thinking about things that are going on in the world instead of just kind of like going along and mindlessly, you know.
Right.
She really was like, you should start thinking about the world, you know, and
I did.
Yeah, and so she is my favorite Miss Indiana. She's someone that I truly look up to, and that, you know, I really had the blessing and the opportunity of getting to know her and to be a part of her life, and so that's really cool. So I really look up to her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, too, I meant to bring this up earlier because you're talking about how much you want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is you're already doing that too with your charity. You got all this charity work going on too. And I don't want to overlook it. That's for sure. What do you have coming up here this summer? Because I know you got a lot of irons in the fire.
Right.
Not only are you going to be Miss Indiana, you're doing a bunch of charity work too.
So. Right. So 2 years ago, I co-founded a charity festival called Give Hope to the Homeless. And basically, the initiative is to raise funds and create awareness that surrounds the homeless community to kind of stop the stigma and in the epidemic, you know,
right.
The homeless epidemic in our area is just so bad. And so myself and then Bryce Alford, who he does tons of charity work in the community as well. And we founded this charity festival, Give Hope to the Homeless, 2 years ago. It's always been in the spring, but this year we decided to have it in the summer due to just being really busy with college, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're planning that for July 28th. That date hasn't even been put out there yet. So you're hearing it first here. July 28th will be Give Hope to the Homeless.
July 28th. Everybody, mark your calendar.
Yes.
Show up. Show out for a good cause and a good time.
It's about, 2 months away about.
Yeah.
And so we'll have so many bands and artists and performers. We'll have lots of fun. In the past 2 years, we have been fortunate enough to raise about $5,000 for several different charities that help the homeless community and work to end homelessness in our area. So we hope to, do as well this year, and if not better. It's going to be a lot of fun. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, and you just plan and organize all of it?
Yeah. Bryce and I, we work together, and I actually had someone ask me recently in a different interview, so you must have this team behind you that helps you. Can you tell us about your team? And I go, yeah, it's a team of two. Bryce and I, we do it all. And they were just so astonished that two young people, both in college, both he works a full-time job, and I don't currently work any regular job, but I used to.
Yeah.
But
you have prep for Miss Indiana.
Right, right.
You'll have a full-time job next year, Miss Indiana.
I hope so. And they were just so astonished that two young people put this whole thing together that makes such an impact in the community. And
right.
And so, yeah, it's really just us two. And we plan it. We founded it. We started organizing it. We plan it. We do it all together. So just us two.
That's awesome. And also, you're going to be a part of Robfest again this year.
I am, yes.
Give the listeners some, if they are not familiar with Robfest, just some background on it, how you got hooked up with that, and all that sort of thing.
So Robfest is another charity festival through ASAP, which stands for Adolescent Suicide Awareness and Prevention. So Robfest was founded by two parents who their son attempted suicide, and he failed, and he's now paralyzed and brain damage due to his attempt, unfortunately. But fortunately, he's still with us, and they're thankful for that every day. But they founded this festival to raise funds to create awareness around mental health and suicide, to try to end suicide, especially in young people, since the suicide attempt rate is so high in adolescents.
Right.
So I've played this festival, I think, for 3 years now, and this will be my fourth year, I believe, playing the festival. And it's really an honor to be involved, because I think it's such a worthy and noble cause to advocate for.
And I don't want to get up on my soapbox here, guys. I really don't, because I don't know anything about being young in this day and age. You know what I'm saying? When I was young, the internet was a thing. We had, I got MySpace when I was like a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I got Facebook like when I was like in my 20s. So
right.
I don't know what it's like to be 8, 9, 10 years old and have social media.
Right.
I don't know what it's like, to be young but I will just say to anybody out there that is younger, that's listening, I guess I'm going to get emotional on this, but it's just like, guys, your life is the coolest thing that you have, and you have unlimited options on what you can do.
Yeah.
And just because you feel like your perception is like, oh, I'm this kid in school and nobody likes me and nobody's ever going to like me, and they bully me online and they bully me in school. That's not the way your life has to be. You know what I'm saying? Get through school and move away, find, get online and find you a group that you do fit into.
I can truly attest to this. I was bullied so much in school, and I became homeschooled, not just because of the bullying. I was also very heavily pursuing music, to the point where I was, being homeschooled was just the best option.
Right.
But it was kind of a combination of being bullied and music why I became homeschooled. And, that didn't solve all of my problems. I was still bullied, but, it goes away. It does. And it's hard to get through. But I'm in college now. I live in a different town than I used to live in where this all took place. And life is different and sure. it goes on. And in college, it all fades. It's right. it doesn't matter. And I went to Ivy Tech with a lot of kids that I went to school with, not that really bullied me, but that, you know, were there when it all happened. Right. And it doesn't matter anymore, you know? And
yeah. Perceptions change. People change yeah. over time, you know? And also, too, a big thing is a lot of times people get bullied because they're just like a little ahead of their time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're a little ahead of the curve. Like, oh, you want to wear what you want to wear. You want to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You like what you like. Oh, man, that's stupid. You don't follow along
yeah.
mindlessly for somebody else. I'm going to bully you for it.
Absolutely.
They're just ahead of the curve.
No, you're exactly right. And that's exactly what it was. You know, it was like I wanted to pursue music and I didn't want to do the typical thing. And so that made me a very easy target. And I truly didn't let it get to me, you know. So
also, people don't like it when you're successful.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have a real genuine problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, you work really hard and the times that like you actually do get like a payoff for all of your hard work, there's always going to be somebody there that's going to try to
knock you down,
throw that Snickers yeah. bar in your pool. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so right. And a lot of times very driven and powerful, you know, people who believe in themselves, that's very intimidating to other people. And it's okay to believe in yourself and it's yeah. okay to go after what you want. You know, don't let other people knock you down.
Yeah. And guys, not only is it okay, I highly advocate for it. Yeah. Believe in yourself.
Yes.
Be your own, you know, biggest fan because, yes. you know, your self-motivation, your drive to get up every day and just kick buns.
Yeah.
Notice how I edited myself. Guys, there will be no swearing on this podcast. Just get up and just really whole buns the day.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Just seize the day.
Yes.
I highly recommend it, guys. Go out there. Do it right now.
Yes.
So, yes. And also make sure you check out everything that Meadow's got going on over the summer. Give hope to the homeless and check her out at RobFest as well. And, yeah, Meadow, as we're winding down here, where can people find you online? Do you have an online presence?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, all of those social media platforms. You can just search my name, Meadow Ryan. That's Meadow like a field, and then R-Y-A-N-N. That's
two
how you can
ends,
find me.
Guys.
Yes, two N's.
So you said Ryan. You made it sound... Am I saying Ryan and I'm just sounding like a dummy this whole podcast?
That's okay. It happens to everyone.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, man, this is something. Guys, always get your... always do your homework, okay?
That's okay.
Meadow Ryan.
Ryan, yes.
That's nice. I like that. Yeah, make sure you follow Meadow on the social media platforms. Make yes. sure you support her. She's going to be the next Miss Indiana. She's going to be representing you, fellow Hoosiers. And if you're not from Indiana and you're from somewhere else, support her anyway, guys. You're definitely going to want her to represent Indiana, because after Indiana, you know where we're going, right?
Where's that?
We're going to Miss America.
Miss America,
and
yes.
then we're going to Miss Earth.
That's all. Just Miss America.
We're going to Miss Earth. Meadow Ryan. She's sprightly for a 50-year-old.
Right.
50-year-old ex-Miss Earth. Very youthful.
Very youthful.
Exactly. Well, do you have anything to say to the listeners
Thanks.
As we sign off here?
Thanks for listening to us talk.
Yes. It's been great.
Yes, it has been fun.
I like being able to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me on your show. It's awesome.
No problemo. Anytime. And yeah, guys, so make sure you support Meadow. And if you like what you heard today, which something tells me you did, you made it all the way to the end of the podcast for crying out loud. Please feel free to like, share, and subscribe to Sean vs. Wild on the internet. Okay, it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's on Spotify. Guys, how easy is that? It's on YouTube. I could deal with a little bit more subscribers on YouTube. It's wherever you get your podcast. So let's make that happen. And Meadow, let's make like a 100 grand bar happen. What do you think
about
that?
Yeah, I need to try one.
Yeah, you definitely do. It's like a Star Crunch, guys. Little Debbie's. Again, it all comes back full circle.
It all comes back.
Exactly. Guys, this has been the most Little Debbie filled episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.